Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest has done a very selfish thing. Very selfish. It's cruising along, covering the Oregon Ducks for the Oregonian. The LA Times calls him, says, hey, would you like to come cover the NBA and the Clippers? He does a very selfish thing, thinking only of himself and his family. Andrew Greif for the Oregonian joining us. Congratulations. I'm just joking.
Thank you, John. No, I appreciate it.
We're going to get a lot of people who are like, oh, I can't believe you said that to him, that he's being selfish. This is a good move for him. This is good. Before we get into the Ducks, how do you feel about covering the NBA?
I'm looking forward to it because I think that the NBA seems to be rising in popularity every year. Obviously, the NFL is still the most watched sport in the U.S. right now, but NBA seems to be growing ever more, and something I'm personally interested in. Just from a my attention span perspective, I watch the NFL on the NBA more than anything. So I'm personally looking forward to it. Yeah. And it's going to be nice, I think, to track, 15 players on a roster instead of 125, like on a college football roster.
I think you get a chance too, to come back to Portland and see the Clippers and the Trailblazers play. That'll be a lot of fun. I'll see you there. For your family as well, you've got, your wife has ties in Southern California. So this is a good move for the Greif family.
It is. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it, but we honestly love Portland. So, I'm actually looking forward to a lot. Like you said, the Clippers are playing Portland twice in November. So I'm really looking forward to those trips, to seeing a lot of the same faces again.
Greif, until then, how long will you be on the Ducks beat for our listeners and your readers?
I'll be on the Ducks beat through the first two games of the season, so I'll get to watch the pivotal Bowling Green and Portland State matchups. Mm. And then our next Ducks beat writer should be in place by then, hopefully, at the Oregonian. We don't know who it is yet, but I have full confidence they'll be very talented, so there should be no breaking coverage.
Andrew Greif of the Oregonian, for now, listening to him here on the BFT Radio Network. Will you still join us to talk NBA?
Yeah, of course.
Good.
I'd love to.
Good. Greif, let's talk Ducks. Mario Cristobal, the numbers suggest that he has not resulted in a spike in season ticket sales, in part because, why do you think that is? Why do you think people haven't just, said, Cristobal's the coach, sign me up?
Well, it's also a larger trend across the country that attendance has fallen in college football over the last couple of years. And the last couple of years at Oregon, season ticket numbers have trended downward. Now, last year was a little bit different because there was a little more excitement around Willie Taggart. Everything was so new. But I can see why, with a second head coaching change in as many years, why there might be a little more hesitance to kind of wait and see, especially with this home schedule, which – you get Washington at home, you get Stanford at home, but you also have three non-conference games that, thanks to Texas A&M backing out, has no marquee opponent. So if half your home schedule are essentially what everyone's predicting to be just blowouts, I don't know. It seems like fans are voting with their pocketbooks to say that doesn't hold a whole lot of value to them.
What do you think would bring fans back? Is it kickoff times? Or is that ship sailed?
I think kickoff times, the ship has kind of sailed because the Pac-12 network and the agreements they have with Fox and ESPN, that's valuable time for them to be on national airwaves, even if it means 7 p.m. kickoffs. So I think that is something that's going to be kind of an issue that I don't know, the Oregon fans in particular are going to feel a whole lot of relief from over the coming years. That's just kind of part of being on the West Coast. I think what would get them back is – they're bringing alcohol sales this year, which I'll be curious to see that does anything for the fan experience in terms of, in a positive way, where people think that that's something that would lure them back. I don't know. You heard a lot of gripes about the change in the policy. It's not letting fans leave at halftime and re-enter the stadium. That was big with tailgaters. But whether that is going to make an appreciable difference on season ticket sales, I don't know about that. It's maybe more tradition than actually it's going to affect ticket sales.
We're talking to Andrew Greif of the Oregonian. Justin Herbert at quarterback. Is he overrated? Somebody asked me that the other day. Is he getting too much hype?
No, I don't think so. I truly don't think so. I've had coaches on the Oregon staff tell me that when they watch tape of him, they look around the room and think, wow, this guy could be a number one pick. I mean, this guy, Herbert really is truly gifted. And Oregon has to thank its lucky stars that he broke his leg in high school and didn't get much recruiting interest in him during his junior year, that pivotal junior year of high school. He was off most people's radar. So it really came down to Oregon and some other smaller schools, and the hometown influence helped to bring him to Oregon. So I think that he is absolutely a game changer. I mean, you saw it last year. I don't know how you could think he's overrated when you saw the difference between Oregon and how they played with and without him in 2017.
Yep. We're talking to Andrew Greif of the Oregonian. His pass catchers in the early part of the season, that may be one thing we can see. Tabari Hines has been practicing. He's got a brace on his knee. What else have you seen out there or heard out there about what's going on in practice?
I think that there will be some good options at the top of the depth chart. Where the depth is something that is a little harder to determine right now because, again, everybody looks good going against defenses of air or one-on-one matchups with cornerbacks sometimes. Everyone's going to have their moment. I'm really curious to see, especially in that Stanford game, the third game of the season, kind of who their second-team receivers are, because there are a lot of options and there aren't a lot of proven options behind the obvious starters of Johnny Johnson, Dylan Mitchell, Brendan Schooler right now look like those guys. Jalen Redd also has been running with the first team almost exclusively. I think those are your first-team guys, your first four receivers. Behind them, a lot of talent, not a whole lot of game reps. I think that Brian Addison, the UCLA signee who got out of that deal and now is at Oregon, he didn't practice yesterday, working with the trainer, but he's 6'5". You know, receivers say that there are plays in the playbook to throw him jump balls, to use his obvious talent to their advantage. I think he is a guy who just, I mean, based on just the highlight tapes and what people say about him, seems like the talent is through the roof. I would like to see his development and what that goes, what that looks like the rest of the season. And then Hines, too. You know, he injured his knee, had to get a little off-season procedure done, but he did look good yesterday and will be ready by the season opener, no doubt, barring any future setback. And I think he's going to bring a sense that the moment isn't too big for him. Some of his receivers is going to be an obvious learning curve for the young guys. You know, he played 3 years at Wake Forest. He knows kind of what this is all going to be about. So I think he could transition pretty smoothly into maybe a 30 or 40 catch season if things go well.
The defensive line, or let's talk defense in general. What area do you expect Oregon to improve in?
That's a good question. I think that at linebacker, they are pretty well set, and I think they were pretty good there last year. I think the defensive line is probably where they are going to improve the most because last year they revolved so much of their rotation around two freshmen, and Austin Faulu and Jordan Scott. They're back. They look good. They look slimmer. They obviously have more experience. I thought they really outplayed, they played above their years, what I'm trying to say, last year's freshman. They're excellent. And they're going to be the bedrock of that defensive line around guys like Jalen Jelks. So I think that because they were so young last year and relatively unpolished, there's only room to grow there. Now, the secondary also has a lot of young guys who played a lot of snaps last year, but I thought they looked pretty good as it was. I'd like to see Oregon's run defense get even tougher in 2018.
Andrew Greif, Los Angeles Times bound. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Good stuff from Greif. We'll continue to have him on until he leaves town. We'll have him on after he's left town. You know, basically, we'll stalk him or we'll get a restraining order in the process. Coming up, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State coach. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.
John Canzano, raw, sourced, fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights. the bald-faced truth.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State coach, coming up about 15 minutes from now. If you are an Oregon State fan that is interested in hearing who's going to start at quarterback or what factors go into that, Smith, who's candid, I'm going to press him a little bit on that. He's candid. I think he'll give it to us straight. He'll be joining us coming up. Later in the show, we promise to make you laugh in the 2 o'clock hour. Comedian coming on. I love that you make this show part of your day, by the way. Have I told you that lately? Let's play Punch It.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Well, let's start with Major League Baseball to Portland. Joe Girardi, former manager of the Yankees, talking about a Portland-Seattle rivalry in Major League Baseball. Girardi brought it up because he said Portland and Nashville should be expansion cities. Punch it.
The two teams that I would like to add, I think we need another team in the Northwest. So Portland.
Oh, I like that.
And I think we could use another team in the Midwest and maybe in a Nashville. Then we have four divisions of four teams, and you got to kind of divide it up a little bit different.
Former catcher with the Cubs, Rockies, Yankees, and Cardinals, manager, gets it right, but I wonder who's in his ear from Major League Baseball. That's the first thing I thought about is who in Major League Baseball's front office is whispering into Joe Girardi's ear saying, hey, Portland and Nashville.
And rivalries are determined a lot by proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting.
So what happens with Seattle and Portland?
Where's Portland? They're going to end up being in that division when we go to 4-4.
I-5 rivalry. That'd be awesome.
Natural rivalry.
Natural I-5 rivalry. Girardi, before you get carried away, also advocated for an Eastern and a Western Conference. 16 teams in each. Harold Reynolds, former major leaguer, Portland kid, talked about going to 32 teams in Major League Baseball. Punch it.
I think we're going to be at 32 teams. I think that's going to happen in the next couple of years or in the next 4 or 5 years. But I do believe that Commissioner Manfred will move to 32 teams. It'd be great to see Portland.
There's a little bit of a problem with the expansion idea. And it's that baseball numbers, or attendance numbers at least, are not supporting that. You've got baseball struggling in a lot of cities to maintain fan bases. You've got baseball saying, look, we've got an attendance issue. Across all sports, you see an attendance issue in college football, down 10% since 2008. So are you really going to expand to 32 while you are fighting for survival in a lot of cities? That's the only question I have. Because when you talk about realignment, when you talk about Commissioner Rob Manfred going on record saying that, look, expansion would solve a lot of scheduling issues. Because, for one, it's easier to schedule 16-team leagues than 15-team leagues. But you got a problem you got to solve before that. Oakland and Tampa, the Athletics and the Rays, and maybe even the Diamondbacks need to figure out where they're going to be playing. Then you can talk expansion. You can talk about Portland, Charlotte, Nashville, Montreal, San Antonio, Las Vegas, Mexico City. I'm going to cross off San Antonio, Las Vegas, and Mexico City. And this is, to me, Portland, Charlotte, Nashville, and Montreal. You got to have two teams in that four if you're going to expand. And the bonus that Portland has is we're the only West Coast city. So I think it's Portland and Charlotte or Nashville or Montreal. I think it's Portland and Montreal. Because let's face it, there's a lot of obstacles to putting a team into a city, but when you've got a city that feels like they've had a team stolen from it, like Montreal has, I think you've got a huge head start. And by the way, the only problem in Montreal is you have an issue of having to pay U.S. dollars for players, while taking in Canadian dollars at the turnstiles. 77 cents on the dollar. So if you're Montreal, you're like, hey, we're paying fair market value for all of our players in U.S. dollars, and yet we're only charging 77% for beers and hot dogs and tickets. It's just a thought. Brooks Koepka, fresh off his PGA Championship win. Talking about having Tiger on the course while you're playing golf. Punch it.
Oh, it's so obvious. It's so obvious. You get anybody else in the field makes a birdie, and you might hear like a little applause. And then if Tiger, once he even makes contact, you know what shot he's hitting. I mean, that's how loud the people are when they're hitting. And then, you know, when he stuffs it in there or makes a birdie putt, I mean, it feels like the whole crowd roars. And then when they're putting it up on the leaderboard, you can kind of hear another roar from three holes ahead. And then you hear another hole when they just change the leaderboard. I mean, just everyone's cheering for him, as they should, man. He's the reason I'm playing. He's the best to ever play the game. So it was fun to compete with him.
Fun to compete as long as you're winning. Koepka, tip of the cap to you. You played well with Tiger chasing you. Tony Brooks James will carry the football for Oregon. I'm curious what Tony Brooks James thinks about the wide receiving core at Oregon. Punch it.
They're looking good. They just got a lot of young guys in the room. So like a lot of like little mental errors and things like that. But other than that, it's a very talented group and we need them a lot.
Whoa. Other than the mental errors, they're talented. They're young. It's true. They're young. I hope they're talented at that position because Justin Herbert deserves to have guys that can go out and catch the football. We've seen quarterbacks that were limited in what they could do throwing the ball. I think Jonathan Smith is one in college that you can think about, but he had great receivers. Chad Johnson, TJ Houshmandzadeh. I mean, come on. You can have a limited quarterback as long as you have studs at wide receiver. But if you have limited receivers and a stud at quarterback, you got a station-to-station problem. Aaron Rodgers. Punch it.
Williams to the left side of Rodgers on this third down and five call. Snap Rodgers. Good protection initially. Pump fakes. Now throws middle.
There we go.
Touchdown, Jimmy Graham. And he spikes the football and makes a Lambeau leap to the south end zone stands. They beat Terrell Edmonds, the rookie. Aaron Rodgers to Jimmy Graham. And we hope to see a lot of that in the red zone this season.
I'm buying Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. 51 points they put on the Steelers yesterday. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
First, I got to thank the fans. To be back on Lambeau was a thrill. And the ovation touched me. You know, I had to kind of wipe away some tears in my eyes.
Wipe away some tears and then brushed them away for good with touchdown passes. Mike Tomlin on the other side of that one is looking around going, we got film to watch. Punch it.
We turned the ball over. That's never good, home or away, any circumstance. We didn't do a good enough job of taking care of the football. We lost leverage too much in coverage, particularly on possession downs. You know, you can't do that. Just leverage is a big element of football. I thought we didn't do a good enough job there. I didn't think we did a good enough job of pressuring and containing the QB. I thought that was significant early on possession downs. And when you're in a hostile environment on the road, man, particularly when you're turning the ball over and you're not finding rhythm, you got to win those possession downs. We didn't do enough there.
86 points scored in that game. Meanwhile, in the nation's capital, the Jets and the Washington Redskins played a 15-13 barn burner. Jay Gruden. Punch it.
Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. It's a heck of a lot more fun than win or lose, no matter when it is. You know, that's just the way it is, preseason or not. So it's great to see our guys come back. You know, great goal line stand there at the end of holding the 3 points that kept us within a point of the lead. And then obviously Hogan did a great job leading the troops. And Cam made a big play. Offensive line gave him some protection. Kevin had a big scramble for first down and got out of bounds. So a lot of guys made plays in that drive. It was good to see. And then Hop, of course, drained the kick.
9 points on three field goals, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, 15 points total in the game. Teddy Bridgewater was the story, though. 10 of 15, 127 yards and a touchdown. looked like he was back and felt good out there. Leave it right here. Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach. Who's going to start at quarterback for the Beavers? We'll find out.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.